Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from The Voice of America. I'm Pete Musto.
And I'm Dorothy Gundy. This program is aimed at English learners, so we speak a little slower and we use words and phrases especially written for people learning English.
Today on the program, you will hear stories from Bruce Alpert, Anna Mateo, Brian Lynn, and John Russell. Later, Ashley Thompson and Dorothy Gundy have a special report on one of America's national treasures. But first, this report.
When looking for stories with the words college application help, Google's search engine identifies over 500 million examples on the World Wide Web. It is hard to say how long it would take to look at all 500 million, but no one has that kind of time. Now, five higher education groups are trying to make the college application process simpler. The five started a website with the goal of providing all the college information students need in one place. It offers help to students and their parents as they learn about and complete the college application process. The website's address is www.stepstocollege.org. The site provides information about important dates in the college admission process, help with application forms, and sources of financial aid. Although designed for American students, it can be a big help to other students, says Laura Owen of American University in Washington, D.C. She directs the Center for Post-Secondary Readiness and Success at American School of Education. There is a lot of information provided in a single place, Owen said. American University helped to create the website. The other creators are the ACT, Center for Equity in Learning, the American Council on Education, Success Better Make Room, and the National College Access Network. The site offers ideas on how to avoid the kind of problems students often face when preparing for college. For example, one report examines what is known as summer melt. That is the term used to describe students who are accepted at a college and pay the required deposit, but then do not show up for the first day of class. The report says college administrators had long believed summer melt students decided to change schools. But researchers Lindsay Page and Ben Castleman found that many failed to attend classes anywhere that school year. The report goes on to say that it is likely that many students just were not aware of all the paperwork required before the start of classes. This is especially true for those who completed high school and no longer could contact college officials for help with the process. The website also has information on how students can choose the best college. On October 4th, the site will offer a virtual college fair of 100 colleges and universities. The event will give students and parents a chance to question officials and students from 100 schools. If that does not work, you can look up former students at your school who went to a college you would like to attend. They are likely to honestly discuss their experiences, both good and bad. American University's Laura Owen says she likes that the website provides a timeline, one that organizes all steps needed to successfully complete the application process. I'm Bruce Alpert.
Now, it's time for the VOA Learning English Program, Words and Their Stories. On this show, we explore the origins, meanings, and usage of common expressions in everyday English. Today, we talk about a very common place, a corner. This word has many uses, and we use it in many expressions. The most common definition of a corner is where two lines, edges, or sides of something meet. For example, squares have four corners. And unless they are round, rooms have corners.
Home decorators have advice related to corners. If you are painting a floor, start with the inside corners and work your way to the door. Otherwise, you will paint yourself in a corner. You will be stuck there with no way to walk out without stepping on your newly painted floor. As an expression, painting yourself in a corner means you have trapped yourself in a bad situation. You have not given yourself a good way out.
Okay, most rooms have corners, and so do neighborhoods. A corner is where two streets meet. So it's a word we often use when giving directions. For example, I can tell my friend to meet me at the corner of Main Street and Pine Avenue. If your friends are looking for the corner store near your house, you can tell them, "You can't miss it. Just go down the street and turn left. It's right around the corner."
However, you should know that when we are not giving directions, right around the corner has a meaning that is not related to space. It's related to time. Right around the corner can mean that something will be happening soon. So if your birthday is right around the corner, you will be celebrating it soon.
In conversation, to turn the corner also means much more than telling someone how to get somewhere. When we turn the corner, we have passed a difficult part of some process. Let's say your boss gives you a big project at work, but she doesn't give you enough resources. So the start is very rough. You struggle through many weeks of not knowing if the project will be successful. But then, finally, you achieve the project's first major goal. You can say you finally turned the corner. You have gotten through the tough part, and now everything will be fine.
We also call the sides of our eyes and mouths the corners. So, if you're on a date eating messy pizza, make sure to wipe the corners of your mouth. That's usually where the sauce collects. Now, when we talk about the eye, corners get a little more interesting. Seeing something out of the corner of the eye means you see something quickly and unclearly. So if the police question you after a traffic accident, you could say, "Sorry, officer, I didn't see much. I simply caught a glimpse out of the corner of my eye." Some other definitions of corner are also secretive and romantic. A corner can be a place that few people know about or visit, or a place that is very far away. For example, if you know a man who lives very far away from you in a very private place, you can say he lives in a remote corner of the world. Your other friend is quite the opposite. She loves to travel and has visited every corner of the world.
Now, a corner doesn't seem like the kind of thing you can cut. But you can, at least in conversation. When you cut corners, you do something in a cheaper or easier way. For example, when my friends got married, they didn't have much money. So they cut corners on the music and photography. Instead of hiring a band, the bride asked her brother to play the guitar. And instead of paying a lot of money for a professional photographer, the couple gave all the guests inexpensive cameras and asked them to shoot candid photos.
Some word experts suspect the phrase cut corners comes from taking a shorter route by taking a diagonal path. Moving diagonally allows you to literally cut out the corners.
Now, let's talk about a type of corner found in sports. In boxing, boxers fight in a four-cornered square called a ring. The corners of a boxing ring give us several expressions. During a boxing match, the most dangerous place to be is in a corner. If a boxer gets trapped in a corner, he or she is unable to move left or right. This leaves them open to an attack. So if you are boxed in a corner, or in a tight corner, or backed into a corner, you are trapped and do not have a good way to get out. Here are some examples.
My girlfriend has me backed into a corner. She says I don't take her out to dinner enough. But when I take her out to dinner, she says I spend too much money.
Look, I know you don't agree with Neil's ideas, but don't box him into a corner. If he feels trapped, he will take his investment money elsewhere.
Stephanie is one of my oldest and dearest friends, but she's really put me in a tight corner. She won't come to my birthday party if Daniel comes, but Daniel is my close friend too.
So if someone boxes you into a corner, that person has control over you. In fact, the verb corner means to control something. It is used a couple of ways.
If you force someone to talk to you, you have cornered them. Here are two examples. The fan cornered the famous actress and demanded her autograph. The reporter cornered the politician outside his office with a series of difficult questions.
To corner can also mean you have physically blocked someone's path. If the police chase a criminal into a dark alley and there is no escape, they have trapped the criminal. The police may yell, "Give up! It's no use trying to escape. We've got you cornered."
We also use the verb corner this way in business. If you control the buying and selling of a product or service, you have cornered it. We often use corner this way in the phrase to corner the market.
For example, when it comes to freshly baked bread in the city, one business has cornered the market. No other bakery can compete. With this phrase, you can also add what type of market is being cornered. The owners of the bakery have cornered the city's homemade bread market.
Now, we use many of these corner expressions in bad situations, such as when we are trapped, stuck by someone, or surrounded by police.
Let's end on a happy note. When we say someone is in your corner, it means they are on your side. They are fighting for you.
This expression also comes from the boxing world. The trainer is the person who comes to the boxer's corner between rounds to give water, advice, and medical help if needed. So if my friend says to me that she is in my corner, I know she is there to help me. In other words, she has my back.
And that's the end of this Words and Their Stories. When it comes to improving your English, you can rest easy knowing that everyone here at Learning English is in your corner. I'm Ana Mateo.
And I'm Brian Lynn.
This November, Lowell, Massachusetts, will hold city council elections. Lowell is home to the second largest Cambodian population in the United States. Four Cambodian Americans are competing for positions on the city council. Since 1999, only four candidates from Asian or Hispanic communities have been elected to the city council, and voters have never chosen a minority candidate for the Lowell School Committee. Last May, a group of residents of Lowell brought legal action against the city. The group accused the city of discrimination against minorities in its electoral system. Elections for all council seats are citywide. The group says the system favors white candidates. A major issue currently before the city council is whether to move Lowell High School or remodel it in place. Residents have strong feelings for and against moving the school. Sokari Chow is one of four Cambodian American candidates. He called the election crucial. The good thing is a lot of people are going to get involved in this election. The bad is the city is dividing, he said. Vesna Noon is another of the Cambodian American candidates. He won a council seat in 2010. But lost two re-election efforts. Noon agrees that the high school is an issue of serious debate. But he said there is also still serious public division over the issue of minority representation and the legal action brought in May. He said the council needs to settle that privately. It will affect the reputation of the city if this matter is handled at the federal court, he said. Candidate Sokari Chow agrees. It is better to change from the inside, he said. Chow and others are calling for a change in the government leadership. There is a lot of dissatisfaction and disconnection to the local government, Chow said. I hope to bring diversity and new ideas, pretty much new faces, to the city. Matthew Lelacher, a white candidate for city council, said he wants to see minority involvement at all levels of government. Lelacher said he would like to see more Cambodian Americans on the local boards and commissions. I'm John Russell.
This week on our National Parks journey, we travel to the largest state in terms of land area, Alaska. Alaska is home to more national parks than any other state. It is also home to North America's tallest mountain, the 6,190-meter-high Denali Peak. The peak gives the surrounding protected area its name. Welcome to Denali National Park in central Alaska. Denali's grounds cover more than 2.4 million hectares. Within the park are glaciers, clear rivers, peaceful forests, and wildlife such as wolves, moose, bears, and sheep. Denali National Park seems huge, yet only one road goes through the park. Hundreds of thousands of visitors travel down that road each year to experience the Alaskan wild.
Denali National Park was first established almost 100 years ago. At the time, the park and North America's tallest mountain were known by another name. Many Americans knew the famous peak as Mount McKinley. In the late 1800s, gold miners unofficially named the peak after William McKinley, the 25th U.S. president. At the time, McKinley was still a presidential candidate. McKinley himself never traveled anywhere near the mountain, but the name stuck. In Alaska, however, locals continued to call the mountain Denali. The word Denali means the high one for the Athabascan people, many of whom lived north of the mountain. The area became a national park on February 26, 1917. Its name was Mount McKinley National Park. Some naturalists disagreed with the naming decision. A debate continued for more than half a century, a sign of the area's long and complex history.
In 1975, Alaskan state officials asked the federal government to change the name to Denali to honor the native Alaskans. But congressional members from the state of Ohio, where McKinley was from, opposed and blocked the renaming efforts. In late 1980, weeks before his presidency ended, Jimmy Carter increased the size of the park from 800,000 hectares to 2.4 million hectares. The expanded park also took on a new name. It became the Denali National Park and Preserve. The naming debate, however, was not over. Although the park took the name of Denali, the mountain itself still remained Mount McKinley for another 35 years. In August 2015, President Barack Obama officially changed the name from Mount McKinley to Denali. The announcement was made shortly before Obama traveled to Alaska. His visit was aimed at publicizing the effects of climate change in the state. Obama became the first active president to travel north of the Arctic Circle. U.S. Interior Secretary Sally Jewell said of the name change, "With our own sense of reverence for this place, we are officially renaming the mountain Denali in recognition of the traditions of Alaska Natives and the strong support of the people of Alaska."
The animals living within Denali National Park are just as famous as its tallest peak. In fact, Denali was the first national park created in order to protect wildlife. The park is home to 39 kinds of mammals and over 160 kinds of birds. Many people come to Denali to see the park's largest mammals. Some moose here weigh well over 500 kilograms. More than 1,700 caribou live within the grounds. Doll sheep flock together on hillsides. Wolves are everywhere in the park. Denali is known as one of the best places to observe wolves in the wild. Giant grizzly bears can also be seen. They enjoy catching salmon and eating wild berries in the summer. Denali also protects the remains of a prehistoric ecosystem. In 2005, geologists discovered fossilized evidence of dinosaur tracks within Denali. Tests showed the fossil to be about 70 million years old. It was the first sign of dinosaurs in central Alaska. Since then, scientists have discovered more than 300 fossil sites. The fossils preserve evidence of other ancient creatures and many kinds of plants. With each discovery, a more complete picture of Denali's past comes to life.
Adventure-seeking travelers visit Denali to climb North America's tallest peak. The first successful climb to the very top happened on June 7th, 1913, when four men reached the summit. Every year, more than 1,000 people try to reach Denali's summit. Only about half of them succeed. Climbing Denali is extremely difficult. Climbers face harsh conditions and extreme weather. Winds can blow at speeds of more than 160 kilometers an hour. They must use special equipment to travel along glacier ice and difficult terrain. The Kahiltna Glacier is the longest glacier here. Climbers know it as the starting point for summiting Denali. It sees some of the most extreme temperatures of any place on Earth. Most successful climbs take about 3 weeks. Several local businesses offer group climbs.
Visitors can enjoy Denali in more restful ways, too. Many people travel by bus along the park's single road. Travel companies offer half-day bus tours. Others choose to ride bicycles along the long road. This gives them a chance to get up close to Denali's wildlife and peaceful environment. The park operates 6 campsites and offers several kilometers of trails. Denali is also home to a group of sled dogs. These Alaskan huskies are an important part of the park experience. Visitors can watch sled dog demonstrations in the summer to learn about this traditional Alaskan way of travel.
I'm Ashley Thompson.
And I'm Dorothy Gundy.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Pete Musto.
And I'm Dorothy Gundy.